Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Rothelsberger.
Hi, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition.
All right.
How are you, Ma?
I'm wonderful. How are you, sweetie? I see we're in a cutie mood over there. Good.
It's Friday. TGIF. Well, of course, when you guys listen to this, it's going to be Saturday, but it's the weekend. So, yay.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness, Ma.
TGIF is right.
Ma, it's just been too much going on. So, we're, you know, trying to make people laugh and have a good time. So, you know, and today's a beautiful day, right?
Okay. Yes.
All right. Never mind.
Every day is a beautiful day. No, it is. It is. It's in the 80s, near 90, not quite 90 yet.
I don't know. It might be about 90 because yesterday was 91.
Okay. All right. It may be, but you know, whatever. It's sunny. It's beautiful. And we're all here.
You're right. Oh, man. Sipping on. Okay. So we have something. And on go.
I think, daughter, you're trying to say it's time for our toast.
Yes. I remember. It's the end on go from Snoop, which is gin.
What's it called? End on go.
I-N-D-O-G-G-O.
Okay. So this is from Snoop. All right. Here's to long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Oh, whoo. That's gin.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I see why Snoop is always feeling good.
Okay, so guys, let's talk about our first movie of the week. We have two. The first one is called Intergalactic, and it's an adult animation from Kid Cudi and Kenya Barris. And Cudi has an album of the same name coming out, and this is a dedication to his deceased friend, the fashion designer Virgil Abloh. If I'm mispronouncing the name, guys, forgive me. But Intergalactic follows the artist played by Kid Cudi, or voiced by Kid Cudi, Jabari, and his friends played by Timothy Chalamet and Ty Dolla. He meets his neighbor played by Jessica Williams, and she's throwing this loud party, and we follow this love story. And there's some really cool guest appearances from Laura Herrera and Vanessa Hutchins. And also a couple cameos from Kenya Barris and what's his name? Keith David. So, Ma, what are your thoughts?
And remember, guys, this is an animation, so you may not immediately recognize them.
Yeah, although some of them do look,
although they do look similar, the characters do look very similar.
Before you get into it, it to me is a really sweet modern day inner city romance, and it's visually, it's really impressive, and it reminds me a little bit of Enter the Spider-Verse with Spider-Man, Enter the Spider-Verse. And I thought it was really well done, but go ahead, Ma.
Okay, well, I enjoyed it immensely. It was a love story and it was a beautiful love story. And it was just sort of, they just sort of connected and they just met, you know, through serendipity, you know? They just sort of ran into each other initially, and then they find out they're neighbors, because the first time he meets her is she's in a car and her car almost runs over him or something. They almost have an accident. And then as the story progresses, we come to find out that they're actually neighbors. Mm-hmm. And they find out they're neighbors, and we'll say they're in a lovely building. And they find out their neighbors because she's throwing this loud party. Mm-hmm. And he goes to complain. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning and they are partying down and the music is loud and everybody's having fun. So he goes downstairs all grumpy to complain. And when he gets down there, first he encounters one of her friends and it gets a little contentious, but she intervenes. And when she walks up, You hear the angels sing. La, 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 la. And it's just beautiful. It's just so nice. And then, of course, oh, we forgot to mention the piece about he does have a little bit of a history, but we won't go into that. I enjoyed it so much. He's an artist, you know, visual arts, you know, and it's just a wonderful picture. You'll enjoy it very much. It's an animation, but it is absolutely adult themed.
Oh,
language theme and so forth. And it's really very, like, you know, I think it's very different and it's light and it's engaging. You know, good job. You know, for me, top shelf. I really enjoy
what
it.
What number top shelf?
I'm gonna go with the 8.5 top shelf.
Okay. I really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. Good job, Kid Cudi. Good job, Kenya Barris. I'm going to give this a top shelf, and I'm gonna go with the 8. So check it out, guys. Okay. This one Netflix. Okay, so there's the opposite of Intergalactic, which is, and I think Mom probably wasn't too happy with me recommending this movie to watch, I should say, The Greatest Beer Run Ever, and it's starring Zac Efron, Russell Crowe, and we have a little supporting role in there from Bill Murray, and it's based on the memoir of John Chickie. I don't remember his last name. Anyway, and his journey through Vietnam as a civilian, and he's delivering beer to his friends who were serving in the Vietnam War. And he's also, I think, like a merchant seaman. What do you call him? Seaman? Seaman? I'm not sure what the actual title
merchant
is.
Merchant seaman.
Seaman. Okay.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time when he was young at the local bar and, you know, just fooling around and taking life for granted. And he decides to go on this journey to deliver beer to his friends over in Vietnam. So for me, I'm going to say I wasn't impressed by this film. I didn't enjoy it. It was just very mediocre for me. I liked Zac Efron. I didn't feel that he brought anything to this role. And I think he, you know, is talented and he's attractive, but all of those things just kind of weren't necessarily very present in this role for him. But yeah, and I thought Russell Crowe, I did like Russell Crowe in it, but go ahead, man.
Zac Efron, the last time I saw him, he was a very attractive young man. And then I saw him in this, and I didn't even recognize him. So I don't know if he was supposed to be not as good looking. He seemed twice the age that I thought he was supposed to be. He had the dad bod. The last time I saw him, he had a band bod. This time his bod looked very mediocre. You know, his attire, his body movements, everything about him just seemed very, very mundane, very blah. I really wasn't feeling his character that much at all. The name Chickie didn't even match his personality, didn't even match his energy or his body movements or anything. So, and like I said, he was most unrecognizable as far as I'm concerned. And he's a young man, so I don't know what it is they did.
He's still a young man.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's a young man.
Now he's a young man. He looked significantly older than he really is. And they should have had him looking younger than he really is.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that at all. I was confused by that. Russell Crowe, I hadn't seen in a long time as well. I don't know what these people have been doing, but I hadn't seen Russell Crowe been for a minute. And he used to be one of my faves at one point, and then he got, you know, drunk and bloated and whatever happened to him. And then, you know, he sort of fell off. But he was good in this. He didn't have a huge part, but he had a pretty significant part. And I thought he was good in this. But the picture itself, it's nice. He had, you know, wonderful, warm feelings toward his friends. And, you know, he wanted them to have a beer to remind them of home. And, you know, so they would know that people cared about them. But it just seemed really silly. You know, he was running up and down and pretending that he was CIA. And it just seems almost scary that a person could infiltrate, just a regular civilian could infiltrate secured war-torn areas like that in areas where there's active warfare. It just was almost a little bit scary because he could have been a bad guy, you know, and he was able to get through, you know, all these different security areas and, you know, and fool all these different you know, high-ranking military people. And so I don't know, some parts of it just was a little bit disturbing, but overall I didn't think it was very entertaining, and I thought it fell flat. You know, I mean, there was a little epilogue, you know, and you know, they updated us as to how the real characters, you know, ended up and you know, their personal achievements, everything. And then they turned out to be pretty significant individuals with, you know, good, impressive jobs, government jobs, and you know, all his friends came back except the ones that we know that were killed. Okay.
Let's
Oh,
see.
we don't want, okay.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I thought the movie was very mediocre.
So
Okay.
what are you
I'm going to call it a complete cooch. So I'm going very low premium. Very low premium.
Okay, so what do you what
Okay.
number?
What's the bottom premium? Six.
Five is the bottom.
Bottom premium.
And the five is second half.
I'm giving them 5.5.
Okay.
I'm giving them, you know, I'm giving them a low premium.
I'm kind of close with you. I'm like at a five with the premium because I really like Zac Efron. I think he's cool. I just didn't think this was the best role for him, and I don't know where they were going with that. And it was good to see Russell Crowe, so I'm gonna give it a premium five.
And then and we saw Bill Murray
Oh, Bill Murray! I didn't know
for a quick
Murray's
minute.
always cool.
Yeah, we
He's
saw
always
Bill
cool.
Murray for a quick minute, you
Yeah,
know. And
it was a lesson in this film that I get and I respect, but I also think that it could have been done a lot better, the film. So.
yeah, so some of it just was totally incredulous as far as I'm concerned. But okay,
All
you
right,
know,
so let's
yeah.
move on to some TV series. So there is a new series called Interview with the Vampire, and it stars Jacob Anderson. And for all you guys who don't know, who are what is it, Game of Thrones fans, he's Grey Worm from, yeah. And it is a contemporary reinvention of Anne Rice's gothic novel Interview with the Vampire. And it follows Louis or Louis de Pont and Lestat de Liancourt, played by Sam Reed. And we also have a journalist who's kind of like the moderator, who's played by Daniel Malloy. And he tells the story of Louis, the main character, Grey Worm, who was a black man in the early 1900s in New Orleans. And then in this adaptation, he owns several brothels. Now, in the 1994 film, which had Brad Pitt and of course Tom Cruise, Lewis was the owner of a plantation and he owned slaves. So that part was cool in the newer version, where we have a black man who was the owner of brothels, although I don't subscribe to brothels, but you get where I'm coming from.
Right.
But basically, there's no homosexual elements in the film, and in the TV version, it is blacker and gayer than ever. And that is very good. However, I did not feel any connection to this Interview with the Vampire. It didn't hit for me like True Blood hit for me. So, what are your thoughts on Interview with the Vampire?
I was, you know, I was really just not that impressed with it. It just seemed to me, I haven't gotten that far yet. It is a series, so I've only seen, well, really, I guess the first
The premiere
episode, which is
episode.
right, which was pretty lengthy. You know, that's nice that there was a strong, you know, attraction between what's his name, Depak, right?
Yes,
Depak and Lestat. You know, that's nice.
they pull, they pull leaf, whatever, but
They
sorry.
pop was the last, you
You're
know,
right.
right? And with the pop and Lestat was much more virile and sexually appealing to both males and females. The whatever.
You mean Lion Court?
Yeah. That's
The
the
white
blonde. The
civil
blonde. Yeah,
rights
yeah,
court,
yeah.
yeah.
He was way more virile, and he could have appealed to men and women.
Yes.
As far
He
as
was
I'm
more
concerned, he would have had
fluid.
more
He
fluid. Absolutely. Absolutely. He would have universal appeal. And the pop,
Yes.
right?
Great word for
Yeah, Grey
everybody. I
Worm. We'll
like to
just say Grey
say.
Worm. Grey Worm was, he seemed, very unsullied. He seemed very Grey Wormish. In fact, he might have been
Well, no, I
more
like
he
it.
might have been
Yeah.
more virile on Grey Worm. He did, it's not even about gender, it's about virility and sex appeal. And I'm not feeling that sex appeal yet from Grey
I
Worm.
didn't see the sex
You
appeal
know,
that he
that was the real
portrayed in
issue.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there
He
you
seemed
go.
stronger.
Yeah. So that was the issue that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
That was my main, concern about it. But let's see,
Yeah.
as it progresses, because he's really now just becoming, they're telling the story, it's a retrospective, obviously. And so he's telling the story from before he became
And
a
he's been telling the
vampire.
story
Yeah.
to the journalist is
Right. Well, he's giving the journalists the information,
correct. My
supposedly,
bad. You're right.
So, but anyway, either way you look at it, so far he's just becoming a vampire. You know, we haven't really seen how he's going to transition, right? Because
Correct.
we're only in the first episode,
Okay.
okay?
All right.
So let's give it a chance. And I don't want to judge it too harshly, but I'm just going to say right now, I'd like to see more strength and sex appeal, and overall, be it whatever kind of sex appeal, I want to see more strength, virility, and sexuality coming from the main character.
You know,
Coming from, what's his name, Grey Worm.
right. And you know what? Like, this makes me want to go back and look at the old interview with the vampire because I don't really remember exactly what happened in Interview with the Vampire. I just know that Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise were in it and Christian Slater, right?
Yeah,
Christian Slater was in it. And I think
yes.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Well, she was a kid
She was
back at
a
that
kid.
time. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And so I
Well,
want to check that out and just kind of compare them. But I don't
it's
remember.
very different,
I
is
don't
all I want to
remember,
say. But
yeah.
it's still premature even to go there yet because we don't know how his character is going to develop. Because believe me, Grey Worm, he's going to change from
Oh, for sure. Well, we
pre-vampire
see
to
how he
post
looks.
vampire.
Yeah,
Well,
he's
not just
different.
the we want to see his actions, we want to see
Right.
his energy. Yeah.
Yeah, because I really was a
Yeah.
fan of True Blood,
Yeah.
especially the first couple seasons.
Okay. So I think I'll withhold judgment until we go a little bit deeper into it.
Me too.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about a show that we've been watching,
Uh-oh.
Raising Kanan. So a lot has been going on with Raising
Oh,
Kanan.
this is just one of my favorites. Oh my
So
goodness.
my let's Rock. So we know a lot is going on with Rock. So Rock and Symphony, she almost tried to take out Symphony. We know that. She's been meeting with Detective Howard, and she found out that Scrappy was not a snitch. She's trying to take a man from a worker, a man from Hollywood. I don't even remember the character's name. I got to go back and check. But she's trying to from Hollywood, from Queen Sugar.
Yeah, he works. Oh, Hollywood is Cartier.
Cartier,
Cartier.
gotcha.
Yeah.
And she's trying to take a man from him, and he's scoping out Rock. Seeing what she's all about,
He who was scoping out Ralph. Oh, the guy who works for
that
Cartier,
works for
and
Cartier.
his name was Badby. He's in American Soul
His
with
name is
Don
Badgett
King.
Jr.
His name was Badby in on Greenleaf. And he was a crooked preacher. No, but for the
Isn't Greenleaf
audience,
gone?
but he
Okay.
played a crooked preacher in Greenleaf, and
Okay.
he plays a crook in American Soul, the
Okay.
Don Cornelius story. So Badby's always played a
He's always
criminal.
playing
He's
fair.
always played criminal, and
Make that
he is
money. Make
good.
that money.
And he is good.
Yeah.
And and Rock, she has her eye on him. Because she knows he's about his business and he's up and coming, and she sees the relationship between him and Cartier, and she knows that there's some friction going on there. And so she, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
And she also was trying to put something in it too, remember? She was like, oh, well, I know that, such and such and will do this. And if they know who the boss is, something like that, she said. She was trying to start some trouble.
Well, she wants to start the trouble just to separate them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's
looking
yeah.
I mean, 100%. I didn't do a good acting job there.
You know, I was 100%.
You know where that's coming from.
Yeah. And it's good. And he's interested, but he wants to find out exactly what's going on with her because he doesn't really know how much juice she has and who she's connected to, who Rock is connected to. So he has Rock on the surveillance.
And can I just say this? You know, we know this is Raising Kanan, but this show was really all about Rock. Okay.
Oh, Rock is the star of this show. It's
Rock, yeah.
Right. It's the rock world.
Rock.
Yeah. Patina Miller, girl, you are the show. You are the show.
So
yeah,
let's go into her son, Kanan. So Kanan is sleeping with the mom of his girlfriend, Corinne, and we find out at the end that Corinne goes to Rock to let her know what's going on with her son. What do you think about with Kanan? Kanan is just a young boy who is led by his hormones.
And there you
mom,
go.
But that
there you
mom,
go.
What
there
type of go. Mother, Corinne's mom, what is that?
I think the mother, I don't know exactly what's going on. I guess she might be led by her hormones too. But I think the mother's sniffing out money. I think she think that's going to lead to some type of money. I think she might know that Kanan is connected to, you know, in with Rock.
But
and,
mom,
and
what
whatever.
Type of mother?
Well, wait a minute. We ain't talking about morals. Obviously, she has no morals. We can see that. We can see the mother's ratchet and corrupt.
Okay.
Well, come on. She, you know, every mother ain't motherly. You know? Come on. You know, you don't do that. It's not even just about his age. You know, because I'm not too sure if it's statutory rape or not.
Well, he's supposed to be 15.
I don't know where they really are in the medical world. Well, in New York, it would be statutory rape.
Yeah. Even if he's 16.
At 17 in New York, you're good.
Yeah.
But he's a bit young, so it would be statutory rape number one. But let's say that none of that even comes up. This is your daughter's little boyfriend.
Yeah.
This your daughter, your little teenage daughter, and one of her little first loves. Let her.
And maybe she doesn't need to even be having sex either.
You know, I don't know if he's having sex or not. Because
right.
I don't know what they're doing.
They didn't show that.
Yeah, right. They just show the mother.
Right.
But that's your daughter's little, you know, friend. Well, come on, that's your daughter. Is there no boundary at all?
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. It's not just that he's so much younger. That's enough, but okay. Let's say it's not a
well,
legal
that he's
issue.
Underage.
That he's underage is an issue because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's your daughter's boyfriend, that's what's unforgivable.
Oh, yeah.
That was inexcusable. Come on, Ma. Come on. You know, pickings ain't that slim. You ain't got to go there. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
but that mom has ulterior motives, but she's sniffing money and power somewhere in there.
So let's... Mm-mm. So, but Rock knows, so we'll see how that
works. Oh, baby, you did that's the wrong. Rock said you ain't gonna be shaking your old behind in my son's face.
All right.
Oh, no, she ain't old, but she old for him.
Yeah, she was about Rock's age.
Yeah, because Rock wasn't nothing but a kid when she had
Okay, so Marvin, you know, I kind of grew to like Marvin, but because Marvin is a loyal worker, but Marvin is not. The brightest person
is a fool.
I do think that him and his counselor are going to have something together because she wanted to give the number. But
she didn't want to give it.
She gave the number. But the biggest issue here was him having his ex Tony killed and having the hiring the son of the big boss. What was his name? Marco? I think there's something. Yeah. Marco. Hiring him and then Marco, who apparently isn't the brightest in the world, goes and asks Dominique, who is a real brilliant person, to go and help him with the murder.
That was just so silly.
So Marco is gone now, and that's the big boss's son. So what you think is going to happen now?
I don't know. It's just not going to work out. That's going to be a war all the way around. But once again, there had to be some friction between that father and son, because the son wanted to do it, but he didn't want his father to know that he was doing it.
Right.
So that was a whole another thing right there. But what was I getting ready to say? Marvin does not make the best decisions. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some of the moves they're making, I don't know how they're gonna get out of it, but or if they will. But who I am really saddened about is Lou.
Oh, I was gonna talk about Lou.
Go ahead.
Lou was just making bad decision after bad decision, and you know, because he took Crown out, now he's gonna, you know, incur all of Crown's debt.
Or else that's gonna whatever be another time. And then the other thing is that he, you know, has a love-hate relationship with Rock.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to Rock just laying the cards on the table because he figures that Rock thinks that he's, you know, incompetent anyhow. He knows that Rock doesn't want him to go into the music business, and he's fighting to get into that, and Rock is saying no, and then Crown went and dogged him out to Rock, went and dogged him out to his sister, mm-hmm. and that's one of the main reasons he killed him. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main reasons who killed Rock, but Crown.
Right.
But anyhow, long story short, Lou goes and forms an alliance with Poitier.
And you know that's a...
Oh, man. And Rock is trying to take one of Cartier's top men.
Right.
/ competitor.
Right.
So that's just a whole bit. Just a lot of bad things going on right there.
Then,
oh, man.
I mean, and Detective Howard, Omar Epps. Oh, I don't think
he's going to try to protect his son.
Yeah, that's his main thing. And I think he's on to Burke. He's on to Burke, his partner. And why? Oh, yeah. What is wrong with her? Why is she dedicating so much time to finding out what is up with her partner instead of trying to crack some of these cases? She's doing all type of, you know, can't sleep at night and all this other stuff, and breaking protocol.
Is that all about her trying to get ahead? Does she think that's going to help her career? I mean, I haven't figured that part out. You know, because to me, I'm like you. You got a whole lot of other things going on
that you need to work on.
You got
on.
A
and
whole
feel,
lot of other
and
things
And I feel
going.
Like she is a product of nepotism because I hear them mention her father.
Right.
You know,
right.
So well, what are you doing, right. Lady?
Yeah.
Just go on. Go on about your business.
Her character is very unlikable. She should spend more time with her wife or woman or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah. And yeah. Then, of course, we have Jukebox and... Jukebox is just really nothing with her except her mom and you know, figuring out what, you know, looks
and you know what? And I'm
going
to call it. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but this is very superficial. Mm-hmm. And I might be breaking the fourth wall by saying this, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. Latoya Luckett never stays in any picture. So I'm thinking that what Marvin is saying, that she's going to split.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's what's going to happen.
Has her other gigs though.
Well, I understand all that, but you know, but I don't know if she's gonna be true to the game in this one either. Okay. You know, I think Juke is gonna end up getting her feelings hurt again.
Yeah, I'm feeling you on that. And then finally, I just want to say about Unique. I think all of this stuff that's going on with Marco being killed and Rock, you know, trying to shake some of Cartier's men. Oh man. And all this other stuff. I think it's going to play right into the hands of Unique.
Yeah.
Because Unique knows about Marvin and Marco's alliance.
That's right.
And so,
that's right.
You know.
And Unique, back. Listen, and you see already, Unique does not like what Rock did to him, how Rock set him up. And he's already in her face showing her he's coming back.
Yeah.
He's coming back. He already got it set up where he's handling the Jersey business.
Yep.
Okay. He interjected himself with that whole thing.
Yep.
You know, so
that's gonna be a problem.
So let's see what's gonna happen with that. Yeah.
All right. So
yeah. I'm glad and Rock, whatever's on your heart, I hope you abandon the whole idea of trying to hurt Symphony. Because that just ain't going to work out good for you at all. You done already killed Scrappy.
And Scrappy
and
is Scrappy loyal.
Was innocent.
And Symphony is loyal.
And that's what I'm talking about. You're not just killing bad people. You're not just killing people who are trying to hurt you.
Right.
You're killing people who are your allies.
Right.
You know, whatever. You know, so I don't want you to kill Symphony. I don't want that to happen. Okay. And you really, you got some bum data or mistaken data. Either way, it's bum data. You got it. That's right. But he came back, but you know what? But you acted on it quickly. You did not do due diligence and you just jumped right on it.
Right.
You know, you really didn't do due diligence. So you know, you gotta, you're gonna slow down because you're making some real bad moves. Real bad vibe.
Okay, so the other thing is House of the Dragon. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this because it was just like way too much going on and we can, you know, really expand. But it starts off with the funeral of Lady Valerian. And I'm not really quite sure, Ma, about Daemon at this point, like how much he loved her, because he was chuckling during the funeral.
Right.
I don't know what did you think?
I don't know what it meant either. And I said to myself, was he supposed to be out of his mind? Or is it that he's feeling some relief? Because remember, they were at odds. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make a move. He wanted to stay, you know, where they were. And she wanted to go back home, remember? Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, they were at odds about that. And then he knew once she died, everything, you know, that was hers would be his exclusively, mm-hmm. you know? So it was that whole issue. So I don't know how much. I'm thinking he's just all around an opportunist.
Okay, well,
that's how it's looking to me. I'm thinking all around he's an opportunist, and the only reason he might feel some allegiance or whatever to the kids, to the children that they had together, is how it impacts him. If the kids become, you know, a liability, mm-hmm. the kids will go to. But as long as they're assets and strengthen his position, then he's okay with his children.
Get rid of his kids. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. They have some modern day ones that do that. Well, but you know, but then so now he married his what niece?
He married his niece, but yeah. We didn't even really get into all that other stuff. But yeah, married his niece.
Well, there's so much going on.
There's just a lot going on. I mean, you can go.
I mean, Allison, is she totally against them? You know,
she's just going completely evil. Put a little bit of good in her, and throughout the years, she's just turned into somebody who's vindictive and power.
And then Corlys, the king, he's getting weak and sick, and they're looking at him on his way out. And now he supports his daughter, mm-hmm. but you know, his hand is getting weaker, you know, and his son and his wife, and the wife's father. It's P.O. because, he got fired. He was fired. Yeah. But don't forget.
He's the hand again.
Her father is back as the hand again.
Father's the hand
because
again.
What happened to the hand he had? What happened to the other hand?
He stepped down.
He went, I thought he went away for a minute.
I thought he stepped down because
his son is gone.
Well,
I thought he was going to make sure his son gets shot, and then he was coming back. I didn't know he was going for good.
Isn't his son dead? I mean, his son is the old hand son is dead. Where is he at? I don't remember. I don't know.
But anyhow, it's so much. If whatever the case is, Anderson's, what's her name? Anderson. Or Alistair, and whatever her name is. Yeah. Her father is another strong ally of hers. Oh, and he's orchestrating everything from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Because remember when the Corliss's wife died, mm-hmm. and he pushed his daughter up to going on in there and, you know, comforting him. He pushed the whole thing up. He caused him to get married, pretty much.
Well, we see everything that happened, like, you know, when Alistair, stabbed or whatever it was, and then she stabbed Princess Rhaenyra. So all that stuff that's going on.
She escalated to all that. She didn't start out like that
because and the kids are just all
now she's raging, and the kids. Well, the kids are lining up behind each parent.
Yeah,
you know, and then if the parents are fighting, then the kids are fighting too, and that's the way it's going. Yeah.
All right. I mean, we'll see. I really, really, really hate that they went there with Daemon and Rhaenyra. You know, like the fact that they are.
Well, that's what the
whole
and well, niece.
That's the extreme. Yeah. Okay. They used to be cousins, I would hear, but uncle and niece married.
Listen, that's what the aristocracy used to do.
Uncle
to
and
keep
niece.
That money. You don't have to keep saying uncle and niece. Oh.
You know what? You know, you say uncle and niece. That's what they shot.
I thought they would do a cousin. That's what they wrote on the show.
So you keep saying it. I mean, that's what they did.
Well, you know, disbelief, Ma. I'm in disbelief.
I'm not in disbelief at all. I'm not in disbelief at all. All
right. Well, anyway, House of the Dragon is really good. I'm enjoying it. How about you?
Oh, me too. Oh, that's another one of my favorites. That's another one of my top shows. I hope they wouldn't go down the incest road too, but we know that, you know, the aristocracy back in the day, that's where they took it.
Okay, well, we're not going to really go into the other couple shows that we've been watching. We'll talk about them next week. Reasonable Doubt, Patient, and or is there anything you want to say about any of them? Patient is good, and or is entertaining. Reasonable Doubt fell off a little bit the past couple of weeks, but let's give it, you know, let's keep watching it. It's a new show, and it's only been 3 episodes. Atlanta. I wanted to say Atlanta. I'm really feeling Atlanta this season. I want to say that, guys, it was going back to like the first season, going back to those roots.
And now they're just more successful.
Yeah.
Well, this episode was funny and cute and very family oriented. You know, what was it? Earn and his grandfather.
No, that was
Earn's dad. Was there his dad? That's the mother.
Yeah, the man with the hat.
Oh. No, and the dad. Yeah, the dad with the hat. Oh, it was just cute. It was just cute and quirky. And, you know, it delved into Earn's dad, who is a good character actor. Remember him from The Wire? He played good on that. Yeah. I forgot his role, but he was like some kind of crooked politician or something.
Yeah.
Like. And he was really good, and he bought this jazzy hat, so that part was good. The Wire is good, getting back to the roots and getting back to actually being in Atlanta, and I'm loving Atlanta this season so far.
Okay, all right, Ma. So let's go into another topic, because we had some things that we didn't discuss on the last pop culture, and this is all about relationship going wrong. So we're going to start.
Well, we don't know how wrong they are. We know that they're ending.
Yeah.
You're saying going wrong. It might be the right thing for them to end.
I don't know how wrong they went. Positive vibes, Mom. Okay. So Tia Mowry and Corey Hardwick, that one hit me hard. They met while she was in college, and he was standing at the bus stop, and Tia and Tamara were in their car, and they saw him and they gave him a ride, and that was about, I don't know, 23 years, maybe 25, but I think it was 23 years ago.
Oh, 20 years.
They've been married for 14 years, and they've been together for either 22 or 23 years. And it just kind of makes me sad. They have 2 kids, and Tia filed for divorce. I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
My thoughts are, I think it's wonderful, and it's a tribute to them that they were able to have a relationship for so long, especially in view of the fact that they started so young, and they're, you know, both actors, and, you know, and it's just a miracle that it has lasted as long as it did. And that's a
miracle.
Yes. And it's a tribute to their feelings, for strong feelings for each other. Well, you know, it's rare.
Okay.
You know,
yes,
it's very rare. You know, and I say, you know, that's wonderful for them. And I know that they've had many years when it has been good, and they have had, you know, wonderful times and experiences, and 2 children together. And best of luck to both of them. And, you know, may they find happiness, you know, in moving forward, in their lives moving forward.
Oh,
you know, and it's wonderful that they would have been able. Not many people can say that they achieved that.
So
that's wonderful. That they are no longer together is something that they, you know, mutually agreed upon for their reasons. And, you know, and good luck to both of them. They have had a lengthy relationship and shown a level of commitment that you don't see very often.
You know, as I get older, I realize that relationships are, you know, aren't always as easy and as you would want and hope, especially just like true love. What I will say is, It's good that they had the time that they did have together, and I'm hoping that they had more good than bad. You just don't know. Nothing is perfect and everything is work. And you want people to be happy. Marriage is more than just happiness. It is putting in the time and putting in the work. And, you know, I still feel bad a little bit, but
I do not.
I do not feel bad
okay. Because if the relationship was still working for both of them, they wouldn't be
do
getting
you
divorced.
Decide to end it and they should continue to work on it, or you think that after a certain point, if they decide to end it, it was meant to end? Do you ever feel that there are people who are in divorce court
that
regret being in divorce court
sometimes? And sometimes, and some of those people also remarry. But this is what I think ultimately.
You mean each other?
Yes, to okay. each other. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But this is what I really feel ultimately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people, because of pride, because of this, because of reasons that it shouldn't be. But unfortunately and fortunately, it's up to the individual to make those decisions. Who are we to make that assessment about somebody else's life? You know, to say, oh, you should have stayed, or oh, you did this, or oh, we may feel that way, but who were we to say that?
Right. No, you're right.
We can only make those kind of determinations about our own relationships.
Yeah, and I think it's really naive to sit here and say, oh, you know, everything is going to be perfect.
No,
and,
you're right. I'm not mourning anybody's divorce because so many people have stayed in bad relationships.
Well, yeah.
You know,
oh, for sure. Well, that happens all the time.
So, yeah. So.
I guess it's just the thing of thinking that because you see them together for so long that they have a great marriage and are happy. And I think that's what people think. And you don't know.
Moving forward.
Okay. So, I don't think you saw it. Maybe you did. Draymond Green sucker punched his teammate Jordan Poole, and the footage leaked out. And this was during practice, and TMZ leaked it. And it was pretty bad. He was knocked out cold. I think they're going to find Draymond, the team. Should they find Draymond Green? And how does it make the Warriors look in your eyes?
I don't know too much about Golden State and this and that and how they look as a team. Because to me, I'm just going to go with the individuals involved. I don't know that it reflects on the team at all, except how they respond.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Because obviously that's not anything that they wanted to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, how they respond to it, I don't know. But it, in my opinion, they should respond quickly and they should respond very decisively. And the penalty should be commensurate with what he did. Okay? Mm-hmm. It should be commensurate with exactly what he did. It should not be you know, he knocked his teammate out, and so we say, go do 20 push-ups, okay?
Right.
It should be equivalent to what he did, and what he did was assaultive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what he did was assaultive, offensive, and dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And Draymond has since apologized, but
well,
he's older at this stage of the game. He should know better than that, and that I don't think that's cool.
They definitely have to think in terms of, you know, how this can be a deterrent,
because
we don't want this to happen again, and how we can make our fans and, you know, and teammates feel that they're in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to take all those things into consideration, you know. And no one player is bigger than the whole team, you know. So
you didn't go do that to Steph.
No one, well, Steph didn't do that.
No, I'm saying Draymond Green would not go do that to Steph.
Steph
is bigger
than
the team.
Well, let me. Let me put it to you this way. That's not what we have to assess at this juncture. Okay. You might have been thinking of not having such a good career. You know, if you're thinking of wrapping up your career, because from that point on, everybody's looking at you sideways.
All right.
You know, yeah. So They do have to inflict some sort of punishment. There must be some sort of penalty, and I don't know what that penalty is going to be, but it needs to be a pretty severe penalty for that.
Great, Mama. My thing is, I wonder how TMZ got like a private practice. This isn't it. This is not supposed to be reported.
Well, what do you mean how TMZ got it? From some of the people there.
Some of the, I don't know why. Maybe
not TMZ played money. TMZ played good money.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, they paid good money. You know, so I mean, you mean which one of them?
Which one of them?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably and not.
You got your camera on it. Every phone has a camera, and good cameras on these phones too. So, hey,
something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if somebody was just not being trustworthy.
Well, listen. We'll see what's going on. We'll see. As long as Jordan Poole is all right, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Could be the water boy, you know, or something like that.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
All right.
Not that water boy, but you know. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about another one of your favorite people. Angelina Jolie filed a cross complaint in LA County.
You know, don't make it. She's not one of my favorite people.
You used to love her. You used to ride.
Used to. Okay. Used to.
In a lawsuit that.
But what have you done for me lately?
Allegedly.
Oh, come on. They're fighting over the vineyard that they own.
Yes.
She claims he abused her.
Yes.
What the problem
was it? 2016,
that's over with.
Saying that they really had reasonable cause to, you know, press charges against Pitt, and
did they
do it? No, they investigated everything, and they found that everything was whatever. They
but Angie's saying they should have
from 2016.
Oh, they should have.
This is what Brad said. He's owned everything he's responsible for from day one. Unlike the other side, but he's not going to own anything
he didn't do. Right.
He's been on the receiving end of every type of personal attack and misrepresentation.
Well, everybody know Angie is a little bit much.
That's your thoughts on it? That Angie is mm-hmm. much?
She's much, because listen, even if he did give her a little shake it up back in 2015, let me quit. I'm only playing. Don't think he did anything to her, and how can he beat up her and all those kids? They could have jumped on him.
Stop.
You can tell me that one man could beat her and six kids. I don't think so. No. You know it don't work like that. You know, if the dad trying to jump on the mom, all the kids gonna beat the dad down.
Yeah.
So you know, no. I don't. I think Angie is.
What's the Joe Rogan show?
No, you know what? No, the truth is, what I think is true is that Angie is exaggerating it. I think she is a little bit of the hysterical type. And she's had problems with a lot of men. It always got getting involved with them and making a lot of drama with them.
She was off the weekend pretty recently.
That doesn't matter. Let her go ahead. There ain't no man in their right mind going to bother with her anymore. You know, she's trouble. You know,
well, something like trouble.
Not like that.
Well, I don't know.
Not having them suing them and calling them abusive and beaters and everything. Folks, she didn't have to call the police on Brad just because he was drunk on the plane. That was ridiculous. How many people get drunk on the plane? Most people get drunk before they get on there. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Anyway, I hope that the kids are okay.
I think she's vindictive, and I don't know if she's a straight up liar or she just is, you know, exaggerating.
This is something that happened 6 years ago. That was resolved.
She's pulling up. She's digging up everything she can, because she's kind of, you know, she's being bitter. You know, she's trying to fight him on everything. You know, come on. She's not an easy personality. She just is not. Anybody who gets involved with her,
it's
very contentious. You can ask me anything. Now, I ain't going to guarantee I won't get mad, but you can ask me anything. No, I'm only kidding. What is it? What is it, daughter?
Would you think of the story differently if Brad Pitt wasn't attractive?
No. Okay. I wouldn't think, no. Not about this. Listen, you mean to tell me he can't be good looking and be abusive and nasty and everything? He can be all.
Oh,
No. Your looks don't mean anything to me when it comes to that. I don't care anything about how you look. In fact, before we even get to your looks, I'd be upset.
I'll be hurt, angry, and gone. You know, no, your looks won't even be in that whole equation. Okay. Your looks might factor in when I'm getting to know you,
yeah.
when, or when I first meet you, but after the first few dates, your looks might not even mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, it just really depends. You know,
I mean, a lot of people have come to Brad's defense, so I,
you know, but you know, you saying about Brad, you know, no, but Brad has always been a nice guy. That's the part you skipping.
No, I know. Yeah. That's the thing. People come to his defense.
Yeah,
because
not
the reputation.
And he's kind of real open. He's not hidden. You know, he's around. He's here. He's there. He's kind of. Oh, just kind of open, you know, and if he was like a really messed up guy, we'd be hearing a lot about it, you know, because he's been with many different women and all that. And
he's
and,
supposed
you know,
to be dating that Emily Brandt Kosowski, whatever, you know, the one from what was that? Robin Thicke and T.I. and Pharrell, remember that?
Yeah, when they stole Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up,
yes.
Bird Lines.
Yes, that woman.
Yeah, look, whatever. Brad can go with anybody, but he does not. He has not earned that reputation of being an abusive drunk.
No, I agree.
Maybe her and those kids ran him to be an abusive drunk. Who knows?
Listen, I agree. And we also didn't find that he was really in the wrong. So we'll, you know, let's just move on.
I think Angie is just a difficult personality. That's what I really think.
Okay, and here's really your favorite person.
Please don't say that and have people thinking that
this is not your favorite person. So Diddy's attempts of reasoning with Kanye West over the White Lives Matter t-shirt is really falling on deaf ears at this point. On Friday, October the 7th, Kanye posted an image exchange between an iMessage between him and Puff. And it was pretty clear that Diddy obviously didn't approve of what Kanye was doing wearing the White Lives Matter shirts. And so this is what Puff said. So Puff said, "Send me an address. Let's stop playing these internet games and don't feel threatened. You'll be fine. Just love." And Kanye said, "This ain't a game. I'm going to use you as an example to show the Jewish people that told you to call me that no one can threaten or influence me. I told you this was war. Now, gonna get you some business." And so Diddy says, "I'm just trying to talk to you as a Black man. And I'm talking to you because this is hurting our people. Stop." And Kanye said, "Anything you text, I'll post. I love you. And you guys breaking my heart. I accept your apology in advance. I don't like our convo. I'm selling these teas. Nobody gets in between me and my money. This is my grandfather texting you now. Never call me with no bullshit like that again unless you're ready to green light me. Because anybody who got on that tea is me. Out of respect for everything you've meant to me, I'll be quiet as Virgil. But now I know how I've hurt people I love with threats. Come do something illegal to me now, please." And Puff said, "As soon as I land, we'll meet face to face. Send me an address." And Kanye said, "In F you, you fed." So, let me just say that Kanye needs some help, but I will also say that we're feeding into this because we keep talking about him and everybody keeps talking about him. Just stop talking about Kanye. The more you stop talking about him, the better, because it's foolishness. And if he's having an episode, then he needs to see a therapist. There are millions of people, I'm sure, or at least in the hundreds of thousands of people who have mental diagnoses similar to his and don't have a platform that he does, and they're able to go get some help.
I just thought of a wonderful idea. Right. Let's stop talking about everything about Kanye and this and that and everything. And let's get us some t-shirts that say, "Kanye, please get help. Kanye, please get help," on the front and the back. Okay. "Kanye, please get help." Let's see how much money we'd make on that.
Oh.
Well, let's get those t-shirts and put them for sale.
Do you think
Kanye.
Do you think you need to put that on the podcast if you really believe that that's money making? Oh,
well, whoever wants to share that idea, whoever wants to steal that idea. Oh, come on, daughter. I was on that tongue in cheek. We ain't not doing that.
Some people,
but well, you know what?
Well, if you
but that would be we'll buy one. Like, hey, you get yours out before we
no, not here. Before you said it out there. You owe her some money.
Oh, that's right. Kanye, please get help. Yeah, that should sell like hotcakes. Kanye, please get help. We're talking about you and to you and in front of your face. Yes, Kanye, that's a threat. Get help. We threaten you to go get help. Okay? Okay? And we're feds, okay? All right? We're the feds. Go get help.
Yeah, and if you want to come sue us, see how much you get.
Yeah, that's right. Get sue us, and then we'll countersue. Let's see who ends up getting paid on that deal. Yeah, Kanye. Right. Get help. Hey, guess what? In my opinion, Kanye needs to go get help.
That's right.
In my opinion,
opinion,
Kanye is a self-loathing fool. In my opinion, Kanye will do anything for attention and money.
And money.
In my opinion, we need to get those t-shirts out there.
That's right. All right. So now let's get into our final TV show of the week. And that is, of course, Married at First Sight. Guys, we're going to talk a little bit about Bling Empire next week, but we don't have time now. So Nate and Sasha, they are happy in their little sexcapades going on and they're fun.
Oh, they're cute. They're cute right now.
I hope that they stay.
You know, I'm starting to like Nate so much. I always feel like Sasha pretty much, you know. Yeah. Oh, I was kind of always a pretty much of a Sasha fan. Nate, I'm like, you're like, Nate, could you fix those braids?
Well, he thinks it looks nice. Leave him alone.
But I don't like those braids, but you know what, Nate, I like you enough that I'll forgive those braids. But I am feeling you when you put that hat on and cover up those braids.
All right. Christian and Mitch. Christian was the biggest disappointment of the week when she opened her mouth to me. Oh, she apologized to Mitch. Why do you apologize to him?
She's always doing that. She has a pattern. She blurts out whatever she feels, and then she thanks him for listening to her and apologizes for blurting it out. That's been her pattern from almost the very beginning.
Not cool.
You know, that's been her pattern. I bet she apologized to that guy for cussing him out after he stood her up at the altar. I bet she went and cussed him out and then turned around and apologized. Oh, I'm sorry that I had to curse you out because you stood me up at the altar.
Sometimes, you know, it's not nice to curse people out, but sometimes they deserve it. So
right, yeah. Right.
Alexis and Justin, Alexis, you're not right. That's not right the way you talk about Justin.
You know what?
You didn't like the sex, you could have kept that to yourself.
Yeah, right. And
maybe
then,
he didn't like
and
it.
And then, wait a minute. And then why, when people ask you how you like the sex, first you said, nothing, crickets. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we said, well, at least she shut the hell up. At least she didn't say anything. And 2 seconds later, oh, what if you had sex with a guy and you didn't like it? I mean, Alexis, you have to dog him out on every level that you can think of. Why must you criticize this man on every level? Let me tell you something. I really hope I've said it about other people on the show, but in this case, I mean it in a very, very deep, deep and sincere way. No jokes at all. Well, I wasn't joking when I said it for Paige either. Justin, get away from this woman. She's showing you no respect. Not only is she showing you no admiration, she's showing you a level of disrespect that no other adult should tolerate. No other adult should tolerate. You would have to be a masochist to stay in this relationship. She humiliates and complains and jumps on you at every opportunity. And she knows we're on TV. What if you said something about her? Maybe that wasn't the best you ever had, but I think you were a decent enough person not to say that. I don't think you would say it, even if you felt that way. I don't know how you feel, but if you did feel that way, I don't think you would say it. And most people wouldn't.
Right.
You know, so, man, Justin, get away from her. Get away from her. You know, nah. She's anything she says nice, she comes back.
and you know, and says something 10 times worse.
Right.
You know, so just get away from her, Justin. On D-Day, please don't say, you know what?
If you don't say you're going to get away from her, she'll probably say it, unless she sees another opportunity to grab some money from somewhere real quick. You know, but Justin, get away from her. Come on, man. If you want somebody to treat you decent and care about you, get away from Alexis. She is not that person.
And finally, Miguel and Lindy, and they just really showed themselves off this week as this two immature adults. You know, I guess because of all of the education they have, they didn't develop themselves emotionally. They just
right. Really, like, well, you know what? Really, like, you know, sitting in the classroom does not equip you for anything but a job. That prepares you for whatever career that you're trying to go into, you know, presumably. But it does not have
medical health insurance.
Well, because she's not employed. If she had a job, she'd have it. But so that's a whole nother story. That's her choice too, not to get a job. Maybe that's why she stayed in school so long to keep from going to work, you know. Well, she doesn't have one now.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know, she cussed the man out and told him, damn, you can't even get the insurance.
I thought she had a job with no insurance. I don't know.
What job is this? Come on. You got a PhD and you don't have medical coverage. Come on now. What does that bode? What does that bode for the rest of us? You know, come on. You know, I mean, my God, you know. But anyhow, okay, so listen, you know, like I said, they both have PhDs in some area, whatever they're doing. That does not have anything
to do. This is in neuroscience, isn't it?
And what does that have to do with relationships? Once again, they have to go through everything everybody else goes through. And I do believe that they've spent so much time pursuing careers or education, they have not developed emotionally to where they should be.
No.
You know,
this
so.
Is real. Like,
they're like teenagers. Yeah. Like teachers. Really, well, you didn't pay me. Well, you didn't listen. Well, you didn't. Well, that, oh, look at that cow.
Wait
over
a minute.
There.
Oh, ooh, how about
wait,
that?
Wait, wait a minute. Look at the cow. What'd you say? You didn't listen to me? Ugh. You know, I'm resting. I'm not getting up. You know, I mean, it's just real crazy. Just real
and
crazy.
The way he was acting, then she wanted to give him a hug and he would
not. Yeah, don't hug me. I don't know.
You're 35 years old.
Wait a minute. You won't hug me. You know, I mean, my God. Did you act like that when you were 15, 16? Did you act like that? Come on.
So at that age, just even at that age, that's a little immature. I don't know.
I think they really care about each other, but I don't know what they're going to do with their immaturity because they are way immature. They're very immature.
Yeah, I'll run, but it's winding down, so we'll see what's going on. And thank God.
Now, didn't we leave out somebody?
Morgan and Ben. Now.
Morgan and Ben. Wait, we hit Sasha and
we
Nate.
We hit Sasha and Nate. Christian and Mitch, Alexis and Justin, Miguel and Lindy. So it's just Morgan and Ben.
Oh yeah. And they said that they were gone.
They bowed
out a long time ago. That's good. I hope they come back for some of the reunions or whatnot so we can just know how they're doing. I really don't care how Morgan's doing. I'd like to know about Ben.
Yeah.
Because Ben was a nice guy. Morgan, just go ahead with your nasty ass.
All right.
Well, you know, but then again, something's wrong with Morgan too. She need love too. Something went wrong. Yeah, something went wrong for Morgan along the line too.
Like
yeah.
All right. Three things that made us smile.
For me, the sun, the stars, the moon. The sun, the stars, the moon.
Okay. For me, I was happy to see the trailer for Black Panther. Don't know how I feel about watching it. It's still very sad, but I did like the trailer.
Oh God.
Yeah, the trailer was really nice.
Yeah.
Number two, and this should have been actually number one, Biden announces executive order pardoning Americans convicted of simple marijuana possession under federal law.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
That is so that wonderful. And that has such an impact on people of color. Yes, yes.
And then this one, McDonald's adult happy meal.
Yes, honey, I can't wait to try doobie-doo-doo-doo McDonald's. You know those love games too. Doobie-doo-doo-doo.
Of course, Ma. Is there anything
that's
you want to
funny
say?
And that's cute.
Is there anything you want to say before we go?
Everybody, listen. If you're going to do your mail-in ballots, make sure you're registered. If you're going to do your mail-in ballots, get right online right away. Check those dates. I don't know where you are and what's happening, you know, what elections are going on, where you are. Get online. Make sure you adhere to your dates. Make sure you, you know, you're properly registered. Make sure you've made all your changes, updates with your addresses and this and that and blah, 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 because you know they're coming with a whole lot of stuff this election. They're looking for anything legitimate or illegitimate. The most you can do is be legitimate, be on time, be accurate, be conscientious, okay? And be very proactive, okay? If you're not going to vote in person, if you need a mail-in, come on, you know, get on it, okay, guys? You got to do it. Democracy is at stake.
Go vote, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour and also at All Things Peju. Guys, subscribe to our YouTube channel, All Things Peju, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. Like I said, we appreciate everybody who subscribed. We appreciate the comments. We want to see more of those. Email us, guys, at info@bambushihappyhour.com. We have some really good things coming for you. Also, check out our Etsy shop, the Bambushi Happy Hour store. And I think that's it, guys. Please just be safe out there, and we will see you soon. Bye.